The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour at 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, December 13th show. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I am here to answer any questions and also to connect you with my guests that I have in studio. Please feel free to call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And the lineup for studio today, Scott Chaff with SE Group Credit Repair. Have you had a bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale, or collections lingering on your credit report? If you have, you definitely will not want to miss my segment that I have with Scott. Learn today how to remove these items, possibly, as well as obviously increasing your credit score. And next guest in studio is Via Williams with Keller Williams, sharing the benefits of using a team when buying or selling your real estate. And my last guest on the show today is Anton Cawthorn with Renberg Law Group. And when doing estate planning, it's important to consider your digital assets and how your personal representatives will have access to those and how this process works. Great information and great guest on the show today. For more information, any questions that you have, please feel free to pick up the phone, give the show a call at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Let's go ahead and start the show, as always, with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Mortgage credit certificate. Any first-time homebuyers out there listening to the show today? First-time homebuyer, actually a definition for Washington State, means that you have not owner-occupied a property in the last 3 years. So if you have owned a property, maybe with the financial meltdown, you lost your home, but you've been renting now for at least 3 years, you are actually considered a first-time home buyer. Or if you own a property in another state, but you're renting here, as long as you've been renting here for 3 years, you're considered a first-time home buyer. So what I want to talk about today is a tax credit available for first-time home buyers. It's called the MCC, or the Mortgage Credit Certificate. They call it a mortgage credit certificate because you get a certificate and it's for your mortgage interest as a tax credit. Now, credit means dollar for dollar. We're not talking about a percentage of. So unlike the deduction of homeownership, which is a percentage of an amount, this is actually a dollar for dollar tax credit. It's really easy. It's 20% of all the interest you pay on your mortgage for the life of the loan. Pretty substantial credit. So if you were on, let's just say you had a loan amount of $300,000 at a 3.5% interest rate, which, not quoting interest rates today, but on some of your government loans, average has kind of been around that depending on what your qualifying factors would be. But let's just say 3.5. I went conservative, meaning I used a lower rate because that's going to give a more conservative amount on the savings, the tax credit, because the more interest you pay, the higher your rate is, the more interest you pay, which means you have a higher tax credit. But in this example, you would have paid $10,500 in interest in the first year. 20% of that is $2,100. That's the tax credit for the first year. $2,100, divide that by 12 months, it's $175 a month savings. Buying potential, this is going to increase your buying power out there on the market. Another $20,000-$30,000 in buying power. So it has a pretty substantial impact on the actual property that you can purchase. Now, in order to see that money on a monthly basis, because it's simple math, you pay $10,000 of income tax and you have let's say, $2,000 in a credit to make it simple for myself and for you. That means you have a $2,000 less that you're paying in income taxes, again, dollar for dollar. But instead of having to wait to see that money at the end of the year, because it's real money, you want to maximize and take advantage of your take-home pay, consult with your licensed CPA, find out how to amend your W-4 with your employer so that you can actually see that, in this example, $125 a month additional in, $175 a month additional in your take-home. And that's how you can increase your buying power, because you're seeing that money every month rather than waiting to the end of the year to get that back. Now, yes, your interest does go down, but if we just took this example over 10 years, interest paid in 10 years, $75,000, 20% of that is $15,000 over in 10 years you save dollar for dollar. Just divide that by 120 months. It really means your average is $125 a month. It's not a replacement for your deduction, so you still can, you get your deduction on the other 80% of the interest, the 20% interest that you're getting dollar for dollar credit. The other 80%, you're going to take your percentage of deduction, whatever tax bracket that you're in, 15, 25, 33%. But it, unlike how the deduction works, sometimes you're not able to take advantage of those deductions because of how you're filing. In with the tax credit, again, it's dollar for dollar. It comes right off of your income prior to any deductions that you have. So unless you're not paying income taxes to equal that amount, you're going to get the full cut credit regardless. Now, this is not a loan. It's an actual certificate, again, that goes with any loan. You can utilize it with your conventional financing, FHA financing, for our veterans listening to the show, VA financing. If you're purchasing in a rural area, USDA financing. So any type of financing that's available, if you qualify for the tax credit, you can utilize it. Also for fixed and adjustable rate mortgages, so it doesn't matter. Not that I'm encouraging adjustable rate mortgages in this interest rate market, but again, it is available with anything that you do choose you want to go with. There is a one-time fee that's paid to the Washington State Housing Finance Commission because there is processing of the MCC tax credit, and the one-time fee that they charge is $650. Now, if you want to refinance after you've closed on your mortgage, you can actually reissue the tax credit again with your new mortgage. Now, if you're listening and you go, well, I own a home, and based on the information that you're telling me, I would qualify for this tax credit. Unfortunately, if you didn't take it out when you purchased your home, you can't actually get it now. It's too late. But if you did get it when you purchased your home as a first-time home buyer, when you go to refinance, you can just reissue that. If you do want to reissue it with your new loan, which you would, there'd be no reason you would not, there is a second fee, one fee at that time, which is $450. So it's, again, for the processing of that through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. The credit, if for some reason you don't pay enough income taxes to use that credit, I don't think we're going to have any challenges in this market here, because what you're paying for a home, you wouldn't be able to qualify for a mortgage if you're not going to pay enough income taxes to actually take advantage of that credit. But if you did, the credit will actually carry over for 3 years. So if you couldn't take advantage of all of it the first year, you can carry it over for 3 years. Now, outside of being a first-time home buyer, requirement one for qualifying, the second is the actual income that you make. So you can't make too much money to qualify for the tax credit. The tax credit is set up for people that they feel need to utilize it or in a certain income bracket. So if you're purchasing your home in King or Snohomish County, one to two people in your household, that would be $90,000. Maximum income, household income, $90,000. If you have three or more in your household, children count, that would be $97,000. And then Pierce Thurston Kitsap, one to two person, $80,000, three people, $90,000. There are purchase price limitations as well. Again, it depends on county. If you're purchasing in King County, maximum purchase price is $450,000. And in Snohomish in Pierce County, it's $370,000. So if you did find a home that was $1,000 over the maximum purchase price, I've had the question asked, can you come in with a more down payment to stay within that? No, the purchase price cannot exceed $450,000, regardless of what you're doing for a down payment. And also, you can use the Zero Down Grant Program. There's grant programs available out there that that you actually do not have to pay back. It's a true jerk grant. They're just going to give it to you. You're not paying interest, no cost associated to it at all, and you don't have to pay it back. You can actually use that and put the tax credit, the MCC tax credit, in conjunction with it. So pretty awesome opportunity for any of my first-time homebuyers listening today. Property, there's no restrictions outside of the multifamily. So as long as a single-family, condo, townhome, they all qualify. So great opportunity to save some money, increase that buying potential. If you have any questions, as always, you can pick up the phone, give the show a call at 1-855-411-50. Again, 1-855-411-50, or online at themoneyhour.com. And you can listen to any of my podcasts from the show, previous information as well. And coming up next on the Money Hour, with so many credit repair companies out there and a lack of sites willing to bring you the real story on credit repair, I think it's important, being that this is the Money Hour, to share this important arena with you. So I have an expert with us, Scott Schaff with CE Group Credit Repair, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Is bad credit holding you back from getting approved for a mortgage, car, or credit card? Having a good credit score is extremely important to your financial future. If getting denied for having bad credit is a problem for you, we're the solution. Newsweek magazine named Prime National the industry leader in credit repair. They have been in the industry since 1998 and have an impeccable A-plus rating with the BBB, fully licensed with the Department of Justice, bonded for $100,000, AAA rating with the Business Consumer Alliance, and offers a 100% money-back guarantee. Get your credit back on track and secure your financial future. For a free, no-obligation credit consultation, call Scott Schaff directly at 954-228-6644. Again, that number is 954-228-6644.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 13th show. It's a great day to talk money, and that's why I'm here with you each week, and each show is all about your finances, how to save money, how to make money, how to build a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Scott Schaff with SW Group Credit Repair. With a little work and a game plan, you can change your credit score and change your life. Excited to have Scott on phone today. Normally, my guests are right here in studio with me, but he's a little bit away, so we're just going to go ahead and have a conversation on phone. And Scott, why don't you introduce, we've got Joshua on the line as well.
Yes, my Director of Operations, Joshua, is on the line as well.
Wonderful.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Joshua. Thanks for joining us. And a little background about Scott. He's a nationally recognized credit expert and president of SW Group and private referral-based credit repair organization that works with the lending banks across the country to assist consumers that cannot get approved for a home mortgage, and putting them in a position to fix their credit and then sending them back to where they can get their home loan. That is what I do as a full-time career when I'm not here on the radio talking with you about finances. I do mortgages, and my clients I send over over to Scott, and he's done some amazing things to help them get in a position to where they can purchase a home. So, Scott, thanks again. Joshua, thanks for joining us as well.
It's great to be back on again.
Thanks, Scott. So let's go ahead, and if you can explain to my listeners a little bit about SW Group as a company.
Yes. We're not the traditional based credit repair company that you see. Normally, there's a lot of popular companies that you see advertised out there. I'm not going to name any names, but basically, we're a private-based credit repair organization. We primarily work with mortgage companies, loan officers, loan originators such as yourself. And people go and they want to purchase a home. However, they're not able to get approved because they have less than perfect credit, and there's some negative items that are on their report that are hindering them. So when someone goes into a bank and they can't get approved, they are then sent over to us from a referral, private referral, and we're able to actually use federal law to dispute the negative items on their report to obtain permanent removal and get their scores where they need to be in a lot of cases in order to get them back to have them approved, versus the other alternative, which is really to do nothing and not be able to get it.
Of course. And Scott, so, you know, negative items, I might have somebody listening to the show going, you know what, I've got a negative item. I really do have a negative item. I was late on that payment. And so how is a credit repair company going to be able to get that removed from my credit report and permanently deleted?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of, we use federal law. There's several federal laws that we use. The main one that we use is the Fair Credit Reporting Act.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a federal law that has been around. By law, the credit reporting agencies have to be able to verify the debt. And if not, the item can be removed. Now, there's a lot of technical terms and legalities that I can go into, but pretty much the process is very simple. Someone comes to us, they want to buy a home, they go to a mortgage company, and they can't get approved, and the mortgage company sends them to us. And let's say they have 10 collection items, 3 judgments, 4 late payments, and, you know, whatever the situation is, we will initiate disputes with the credit bureaus, all 3 of them. And in 30 days, the client will receive a thick packet in the mail that will have the results of the investigation, the items that have been deleted, and we can then pull their updated scores.
So,
and in a lot of cases, you know, our main goal is to get them back to the loan officer as soon as possible to obtain approval. So
of
we
course.
Dispute every single negative item that is on the report. And unlike a lot of other credit repair companies that only do 1 or 2 or 3 items at a time, and they're just interested in billing tactics and charging a monthly fee, SW Group disputes every single negative item and gets the fastest result possible.
So anything different, Scott, about SW Group when you're comparing? Because there are a lot of credit repair companies out there, and I do mortgages right here local in our area, but I refer to you out of the area because it finding somebody that really is gonna provide the service and accomplish what I want to be able to accomplish with my clients is really important. So what else is different about SW Group?
Sure, absolutely. Why are we different? Great question. I'm going to go into a few points, and then I'm going to let Joel go into a few other points. Number one, all of our staff is FICO Pro certified. We have industry-leading experts. In fact, some of the people that are with us have actually written books on credit repair that have been published nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a legal team of attorneys that will actually file suit on behalf of the clients at no cost to them. Not only that, it's personalized contact.
Mm-hmm.
When you deal with other companies, you call an 800 number, you talk to some different person, you have no idea who they are, they have no idea who you are, they're just looking at a bunch of things in the computer. With SW Group, it's personalized experience. You pick up the phone, you have a direct contact number to somebody who knows exactly what is going on with your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a personal login interface where you can log in, you can see your updated reports. If it takes 2 months, you can see all of those details in there. It'll show you every single item with each bureau, and it's completely interactive. Also,
yeah,
we form a protective shield over you. If there are collection companies that are calling you, for example, we'll give you a log sheet. And in a lot of cases, they're in violation of the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act, and we'll file suit and settle. So we've actually had clients that have made money off of hiring us just because of the abusive collection practices that a lot of these collection companies use, because most people don't know the law, but we do. And I'm going to let Joshua pick up on a few of those other items.
Yeah, one other thing is, and this is key to our process. We employ a technical factual dispute process when submitting disputes to the credit reporting agencies and or to the credit directly to the creditors themselves. In 2010, the FACTA Act was amended via Section 623. And what was basically put into play was an amendment that gave the consumer the ability to dispute directly to the creditors with regards to the veracity of an account. When normal credit repair companies actually invoke the dispute process and they address creditors, what they normally do is address them with regards to validating and verifying debt. We do that as well. But in conjunction to that, we invoke the FACTA 312 amendment, and we also verify and challenge the veracity of the line item or the correctness of it. This is a unique way of disputing. It's completely legal, and it's a consumer's right. And this is one thing that's very different from our process.
Yeah, and that's really being able to look at that and understand what the rights are of the consumer and to be able to fight on their behalf and how things are getting reported is so important. So what about advice for giving just an average listener to help improving their credit?
Well, number one, know your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a very high percentage of people that are listening right now that have absolutely no idea what their credit score even is.
And Scott, where's the best place to get that? Because a lot of times consumers are going online to get their credit score, and the credit score actually is not what their credit score is because it's being different algorithms are being used to come up with that score. And so where are you sending that's going to be most accurate to their true FICO score?
Well, there's a few that are pretty good. MyIQReport.com is very accurate. You go there and you'll get a tri-merge report. It'll be all three bureaus. It'll be $16.95 a month, but they update it every single month. But that's the most important part, is know what your credit scores are, number one. You know, have an idea. A lot of people have no clue. If you took 10 people walking down the side of the road and asked them, what's your credit score, 7 out of 10 of them would have no idea.
Sure.
Okay. And know what negative items are on there. And then number three, address it. And also, as far as advice, keep your balances down low. You know, you want to make sure there's what's called a utilization ratio.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you add up every single amount of your available credit limits on all your cards and what you actually owe. And then you divide it. So if you have $10,000 total available and you have $5,000 in balances, your utilization ratio is 50%. That's bad. You want to keep that below 30% and, if possible, below 15%.
Yeah, and that represents 30% of your actual FICO score. So it is important. And I think that's important to understand with a lot of people using your credit cards. Make sure when you're using your revolving credit cards to understand if you pay it off every month or you're not paying interest, depending on when that credit report is actually getting pulled. And if you're in the process of getting a mortgage and you're going to be closing, when you pay off that credit card, they're not reporting right at that time. It could be 30 days or whatever that is before it's going to get reported. So you don't know what's going to be on there. So you want to make sure that utilization, just as Scott is saying, is keep it under that percentage, especially during the time that you're going to be having your credit report pulled. So Scott, what about someone who has had some challenging credit and actually they've got some big issues that they've had and they can't qualify to get a credit card opened? What are you doing with your clients to help repair their credit when they can't establish and start to get new credit?
That's a great question. Yeah, and one of the number one things that I always recommend to everyone is if you have a family member that has good credit, you can add yourself as what's called an authorized user.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you have a mother, father, aunt, uncle, they can just call their credit card company and add you as an authorized user on that account. And that credit report or that actual account will then report on your report even the past history. So if they have a Discover card with $5,000, $10,000 available credit and they have a zero balance and they've always made payments on time, the past history will then reflect on your report. So it's free. You can't get denied. The second, if you don't have somebody that's willing to do that for you, the second thing that you can do is you can get yourself a secured credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you go online. The best website to go to, openskycc.com.
Okay.
You can add yourself as basically just a secured card member. They'll send you a card in the mail. You give them $500. They'll send you a card with a limit for $500.
Mm-hmm.
Only spend $20 on it. Keep it in the sock drawer. but it's a great way to start building up your credit. And the third one is to get a credit builder loan as well.
And what is that, Scott?
Well, it varies from state to state. So you have to Google credit builder loan. But basically, okay. You would give them $500, $1,000. They'll hold it in an interest-bearing account,
mm-hmm.
and you would make payments on it. And then it's a short-term loan. It's usually 6 to 12 months. And then at the end of that loan, they would give you the money back with interest. So
makes sense. And I, you know, on your talking about and being added for a user, because the average age of credit, which represents 15% of the pie, you also can be utilizing that. If you just have accounts that you haven't had established a lot, getting added on a user as a user on someone's credit, that their credit history is going back years, it can have a huge impact, being that represents 15%
exactly.
of the pie.
You get that past history on there.
Exactly.
With anything else.
Yep. Well, Scott, we're out of time, but I definitely will have you back. I know you're scheduled for another couple upcoming shows. And if you want more information about credit repair to connect with Scott, you can call into the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50. I'll get you connected directly with Scott. And you can also go to themoneyhour.com and listen to any of the previous segments and conversations I've had with him. Scott, again, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of information. I look forward to talking with you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tina.
Okay. Bye, guys. Coming up next on the Money Hour, real estate and using a team approach. I have Vail Williams with Keller Williams right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 13th show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint 1 week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can talk to myself or any of the guests that I have in studio. Just call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, I have Vail Williams with Keller Williams. And Vail, so excited to have you in studio for the first time, and especially since you record your show right in the same studio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege, and it is so much more fun to be a guest, Tina.
Nice. Well, good. Well, I'll have to be a guest on your show, right?
I would be happy to have you as a guest on my show.
So we're going to talk with Vail about real estate. She is an industry leader without question, and we're going to kind of focus really on team and what does it mean to you as a home buyer or a home seller to be working with a real estate team versus a real estate individual. And before we jump in, let me give you a little background about Vail. She's based in Seattle area. She heads an award-winning team of real estate specialists in the greater Seattle area, focusing on move-up and luxury segments. The Vail team is the number one residential real estate team at Keller Williams Eastside office and is in the top 1% Keller Williams worldwide for volume sold. Keller Williams worldwide has over 100,000 agents, so you figure it out at 1%. She's definitely an industry leader. Vail entered the residential real estate industry in 2001 after a successful career doing marketing and sales for builders and developers. She has been an award-winning realtor ever since, consistently performing in the top 1% of the nation in sales volume. She participates in many real estate association panels and co-hosts her own weekly show, as I said, right here in the same studio. Get Real Radio is her show, which airs right here again on KKNW 1150 and Blog Talk Radio. So Via, again, thank you so much for spending time with me and sharing your information with my listeners. And let's go ahead and start out with what's the first or most important reason to hire a team to represent you in the purchase of a sale in a home versus just working with a single individual real estate agent?
Which I was, by the way. You know, I started off that way, Tina, and, you know, certainly learned the ropes that way. And yet what I soon realized is that I couldn't be all things to all people, could not be in more than two places at once, and I was not an octopus. And so at a certain point, you know, as a consumer for the same amount of money, I started seeing who my competition was, and I started going, wow, they're getting like five or ten of, you know, so-and-so's people on call for them, and there's just me.
Yes.
And so if I'm in a meeting, and of course I would not rudely answer my phone during a meeting.
Of course not.
Then what was happening is calls were being missed.
Yes, yes.
So a consumer is calling in on one of my listings, and they have a question, and they might be a really good, viable, potential buyer. And what am I doing? I'm in a meeting, and I can't answer my phone. That is the tale of, you know, 99% of all realtors.
Yes.
So the reason you hire a team is so that you can have a team of specialists, not just one generalist. Really, access to an agent most likely 24/7.
Yes.
You know, one of us, there's five of us, and at this moment while I'm on the radio, you know, happily with you, I have a crew of people who are answering phones and meeting with clients and customers right now selling homes.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And, you know, one of my my personal business core practices is procrastinate, delegate. And I say that because I'm a team believer as well. So I'm not going to be good at everything. And I have a team that supports me. And so I think it's so important that we have our strengths and our weaknesses. So you kind of build that team to where you can take care of everything. Now let's talk via as well. Is I as a buyer, well, first as a buyer, you don't pay real estate commission, and we can talk about that a whole nother conversation because a lot of times they don't know that. But really, the seller pays all of the real estate commissions. But I think in a team situation, which you've already said the percentage, 99% are not doing a team, so it's really rare to find this dynamic. Is that they're paying the same amount of money, but instead of just getting one individual, they're getting that entire team, right? Can you talk about that?
That's exactly correct. And you touched on something that's really near and dear to my heart. I have what I call DHBs, or called deeply held beliefs.
Okay.
And I have some DHBs that as humans, we are wired in ways behaviorally that are fixed. You know, we are who we are. We're wonderful, unique beings. And we have these things that we're wired to be good at. You and I, Tina, are superb at sales and negotiation.
Yes.
And yet we are probably not great at filling out 10,000 forms and checkboxes. Am I right?
Oh, of course.
So, you know,
I'm good at making the checklist.
Absolutely.
But not completing them.
Exactly, right? You know, I can negotiate multi-million dollar sales and I thrive on it. And yet I have an assistant who can handle paperwork and all of the back end stuff that brings. And it's better for everybody that way. And so what happens is behaviorally, we have different roles in a real estate transaction. And if you are diligent, which I am, in matching that behavioral style with what the role is, you get an all-star team.
Yes.
My transaction coordinator takes our files from, you know, pending to close. And she literally is calling all parties involved or emailing on a daily basis. That's all she does full time.
Yes.
And you know, I was never that good. I could not be that good. And yet you don't want me to be that good at that, because what you want me to do is call the other agent when there's a problem and negotiate your purchase while while we're selling your house. And you don't want me to be putting my energy into that. So I believe that, you know, if we can hire people who are behaviorally wired for specific roles, they love, therefore, what they do. They are, therefore, good at what they do. The consumer has a phenomenal dream team.
Yes. And and with Keller Williams and the structure that you have there as a company, and that process that they go through that you were talking about is pretty amazing. And I'm like, so dialed in and right there with you. So let's talk about in the spirit of this with roles, because you have one individual that's running everything. They're trying to do the negotiation. They're trying to keep up on what's happening in the market. They're trying to show clients houses driving around. All these things, issues are coming up, the paperwork, all these different roles and duties. So
So in contrast to, right. Yeah. I mean, when I was an individual agent, let's just go through a day.
Okay.
You know, I would get on the hot sheets and say, okay, you know, I've got three active
hot
buyers.
Hot sheets being the hottest homes.
I would get on the MLS and mm-hmm. say, what's come on the market in the last 24 hours mm-hmm. for my buyers that might work? And that takes time, and that takes calling agents. That might take previewing. Sometimes I might have to swing by a house on the way because they're at work busy. And if I think it's a good purchase for them, I'm going to need to see it. Meanwhile, you know, is the sign being installed on my listing that's getting activated today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does the flyer look? I need to print the flyer. I need to deliver the flyer. Oh, guess what? We're getting an offer in on another listing. So now I need to negotiate that. And oh, yep. Guess what? I've got an inspection that I need to go be at for 3 to 4 hours, mm-hmm. you know, at noon, right? So all of this is happening. And what kind of ends up happening is you become a jack of all trades, master yeah. of nothing, I find.
Yeah, makes total sense. We cannot be good at everything. Mm-hmm. So as a team, you can provide a higher level of service, obviously, in all areas, and important to market the ability to act quickly when buyers are inquiring about mm-hmm. things, and especially in this market right now. So can you talk about that and the sense of urgency that yeah. you on the real estate side needs to have?
Yeah. Yes. I have three buyer's agents, and my assistant is licensed, and there's myself. So
okay.
between the five of us,
uh-huh.
We are all over being pretty much anywhere within an hour or two.
Okay.
Most importantly, though, the buyer's agent's full-time job is working with buyers. And mm-hmm. that means that they sort of live and breathe this stuff. And so if they had met with you, Tina, and done uh-huh. a buyer consult with you and knew what you were looking for, and they'd shown you houses, they really knew what you looked for.
Okay.
They were working really closely with you because you're your own lender.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. Every single day, you know, when you talk about a sense of urgency, not only is it identifying potential houses, it's calling agents and finding out when offers are going to be reviewed,
sure.
what the seller's going to look for, simultaneously calling your clients, trying to figure out if you can pull them out of, you know, the office at lunch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of moving parts involved. And that I truly believe you need a full time, you need buyers, yep. agents, focused on that and that alone. I couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so busy focused on my sellers. I just realized it wasn't servicing them.
Yes, exactly.
And what was servicing them was going to be to have people that were there, you know, 24/7 mm-hmm. for them, for their purchase only.
Yes. And you mentioned the transaction coordinator mm-hmm. for me, my loan coordinator, same mm-hmm. thing. That's what she does day in and day out, is she coordinates and closes loans. She doesn't touch anything that's not a contract.
Mm.
Under contract, and that's what she does all day. So that high level of service is so important. So talk about the benefit from a seller side mm-hmm. via in the team approach.
It's a huge benefit. A lot of our listings are luxury and high end, and so we need to accompany both buyers or agents when
okay.
they show listings.
Uh-huh.
So we do, for instance, is just one of many examples. We do team orientations. By the way, and what happens when you have listings is that you get a lot of calls and internet inquiries.
Yes.
And there is shocking statistics from the Realtor Association. I don't have them in front of me, and no one will remember the number uh-huh. anyway. Know that it's shocking how few listing agents actually call buyers back when they call. It's shocking. I see you shaking your
wow.
head, and it, you should be
because that's
your
an
head.
Opportunity.
And
for,
emails, right?
Yep.
They're running around too busy.
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is that when we have team orientations and we have either the seller or myself leading them through every single one of our listings, mm-hmm. my entire team knows everything. They know what's behind the walls. They know what kind of construction it is. They know if there's a heat pump or not. What happens is when someone calls with a question, you know, and or wants to go see it, they're mm-hmm. not just getting shown by someone who is pulling up for the first time with no knowledge of the property. The sellers have the full force of our team involved, tutored essentially, right?
Sure.
Ready to
mm-hmm.
go and guiding any potential consumer through their home.
It's
I don't know why someone would choose otherwise. It
yeah.
to me, it's a huge benefit.
So Via, my time's running out with you. You know how it goes. Hosting a radio show, it goes
yeah.
away really quickly. But leave my listeners with what is that most important why behind hiring a real estate team versus maybe just an individual?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I call it the Uberization of society. We have a consumer now, Tina, that is absolutely expecting 24/7 almost instant response. Yeah. We have a 5-minute standard in my office. We get back to every lead within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the fact is our consumers demand it. And so without a team, that is virtually impossible. I would have missed that standard just talking to you now.
Of course.
Had someone have called in.
Yes.
And so I think that in the day and age we're in, a seller needs a team that can, you know, really comply with the standard that this consumer's demanding.
Well, and also in just what you said via two made me think of something is when you're talking with a client, you're working with a client. These conversations that we have with our clients, you on the real estate side, me on the mortgage side, they are not 5-minute conversations. I mean, you're talking with a client for, you know, 30 minutes about one topic. And, you know, so who's servicing and taking care of those other clients and opportunities that are coming in that need your help. So just amazing, Via. Well, I appreciate so much you taking time to come into my show. I'll look forward to getting the invite over to your show and hopping down the hall here, right?
That's right.
Awesome, Via. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next on The Money Hour, estate planning for digital assets. Anton Clawthorne with Reinberg Law Group right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 13th show. I bring into studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything when it comes to your money. I'm here to help you in today's economy. And if you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, I have Anton Clawthorne with Reinberg Law Group. And a little bit about Anton. Anton's been practicing in the arena of estate planning and tax for 4 years and holds a Juris Doctor degree from University of San Diego School of Law, where he graduated with honors and was a lead article editor for the San Diego Law Review. In addition, Anton has a Master's of Law degree in area of tax law with a focus on estate planning and small business planning. Anton is a member of the Washington State Bar, Estate and Gift Tax Committee, and Q Law. Anton's practice focuses on estate planning, estate tax planning, small business planning, and works with couples in non-traditional relationships and special needs planning. Again, just very excited to have my conversation with Anton today. Considering how much information we can keep on computers and the internet, estate planning just isn't complete anymore without including digital assets, right?
That's correct. These and days, so,
yeah,
you have to plan
ahead.
For your digital assets, and if you don't, it can completely destroy an estate plan that's carefully planned.
And you know, this is I've had a couple of my partners in your arena. First time that I've had you in studio, Anton. So I'm excited for this, but I've never had talked on this actual topic for estate planning. So let's explain to my listeners what digital assets are.
Digital assets are very different from traditional assets. Most of us are used to looking at assets such as a house, furniture, jewelry, antiques, financial accounts, bank accounts, retirement accounts. We're used to dealing with those sort of assets. In the estate planning world, the new type of asset are these digital assets. These are assets that are essentially things that are online, and they've been brought about by the computer age and the internet. It's been around for a while, but it's only recently that estate planning attorneys have really realized how important and critical it is to plan for these digital assets as part of your estate. The things we're really looking at are things like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blogs, YouTube, eBay. These are all things we consider digital assets. Bank accounts you log into online.
Okay.
Each one of these is digital assets. Really what we're looking at, anything where you set up a password and a user account, that's a digital asset and something that we look at that could have value. And many of these actually do have monetary value. People these days will have blogs. They may be getting money off of their blog. They may have a YouTube account that has advertising revenue coming in.
Okay.
Things such as ebooks, videos, MP3s that you've stored, those may have value. And if you don't plan for those, you can lose those assets. Other digital assets may not have that monetary value, but they can have personal value. People may have their pictures stored on Facebook only. They may have their pictures stored in their iCloud.
Okay.
These are digital assets they have because it has a personal value to them and their family. So when we're looking at estate planning these days, we're not just looking at those traditional assets anymore. Like I said, the houses, the financial accounts. We're now also looking at the digital assets, things people have passwords and they have logon information online. And we're looking into planning for those rather than just planning for the traditional assets alone.
So tie this in, Anton, about estate planning, a little bit of background of estate planning.
Yeah. So estate planning is really the planning, not just for what happens after you pass away, but also what happens if you're incapacitated, you're in an accident, you get dementia, someone else has to look out for you. So estate planning is really a comprehensive plan for now while you're alive and you need help, and also for what happens when you pass away. And when you're doing estate planning, you're looking at a few different things. One of the most important things is picking someone to represent you when you can't. So if you're incapacitated, who's going to look after you? Who's paying your bills? Who's managing your financial accounts? When you pass away, who's going to manage your estate? Who's going to look through those bills again? Who's going to distribute those assets out to all the beneficiaries of your estate? The rest of your estate plan is planning where do assets go? What's going to happen after you're gone? Who gets what? How are they getting those assets?
Yep.
Now, today, most of us, we're not like the pharaohs of Egypt. We don't want to build a giant pyramid for ourselves and bury ourselves with all of our assets. That's not what happens anymore. There are people out there who actually, this really does happen, that want to be buried with their cell phones. So that's one asset that people
are
now
saying. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's really happening.
Really?
Yeah, and that's definitely a phone call I don't want to make or take, but people are doing that. So what we're really trying to do today, though, is we want to provide for our beneficiaries. We want to set things up so it'll be easy for them. We don't want them building the pyramid. We want them having the simplest process possible when they're settling an estate. In order to do that today, digital assets are a part of that plan. It's something you have to establish a plan for so they really can have an ease of administration of the estate.
So, Anton, why should we plan for our digital assets and digital estate after death?
If you don't plan for those digital assets in your digital estate after death, you won't have the peace of the mind and control that you get from creating an estate plan because you don't know what's going to happen and you haven't created that ease of estate plan for your beneficiaries and those who are going to come after you. One case we have heard of, and this is one of the bad ones, is so a mother had passed an iPad down to her son. So that was the asset she was leaving to her son. She had kept all of their family photos just on the iPad on the iCloud account. That's the only place they had stored of any of this information. So the son, he now has legal access to the iPad. It's his iPad. He can use it. However, the digital side, those digital assets, all those photos, all the information stored on that iPad was not his. She didn't pass that down to him. She didn't give him the password, no access information. So he couldn't log onto the iPad. Contacted Apple. Because of Apple's user license agreement, he has no right to get into her account. He has no way to access it.
Wow.
He fought them. What ended up happening was they wiped everything. He lost all those family photos. Nothing left. He had no access to them because she hadn't planned for the digital assets in her estate after she passed away. There's numerous cases of these things happening. There's people in the military who have sent emails back and forth between other people. Family members want to see these emails to see what was happening at the end of someone's life. They go to Yahoo, they go to Google, and they're refused access to those, and they can't see those end-of-life emails. So it's very important to get this planning in ahead of time. Other problems you can have if you don't plan for digital assets after you pass away, administration of the estate. Typically, when someone's administering an estate after someone's gone, we say, look at the mail, look for the bills coming in, because you can see what sort of bills somebody had, what sort of the assets they had by looking at the mail. The problem is now, everyone has e-billing. those bills aren't coming in through the mail. Mm-hmm. Now they're coming in through email. If you don't have access to those email accounts, you don't know what the bills are. So these are the reasons you want to make sure you plan for your estate after you pass away.
And, you know, it's just in your arena, and I know I'm not saying anything new to you, and I think it's just because it's, you know, we're talking about the final stages in our life, and so there's so much procrastination in this. And just really taking that step to get things taken care of and lined up now is so important. So if you want to talk with Anton, please pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-411-50, and we'll connect you with Anton, or you can go online at themoneyhour.com. And what about planning? We've talked about the incapacity, and what should someone do to prepare their digital estate in case that they're in an accident or if they end up facing dementia? What's your advice?
Yeah, in those cases, it's almost more important than planning your estate, because if something happens to you, you can't pay your bills. You may have credit card bills outstanding. You may have a mortgage outstanding.
Yeah.
You may have an auto payment. If you have all of those out there and you have e-billing set up for those, it's very difficult for somebody to figure out what to do to pay those bills. Again, you want to make sure you've given them enough information so they can get in, log into those email accounts, find out what sort of bills you have. But almost more important is you want to make sure you have a good power of attorney put into place.
Yep.
With a power of attorney, you name somebody else to act for you when you're incapacitated. They can start managing those accounts.
Okay.
With digital assets, it's even more important. If someone tries to manage an online account that you have, they can be violating federal law by doing so. And so if they don't have authorization within your power of attorney, they can get in criminal trouble for doing this.
Hmm.
So one thing to do, if you have a power of attorney, pull out the power of attorney, take a look at it, see if it has a provision in there for digital assets, giving your power of attorney the authority to look at digital assets. Important thing to do. If you don't have a power of attorney, good reason to go out there and get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
We typically say update your powers of attorney every 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
So if it's been that
or
long.
Or any life change.
Yeah, any major life change is great to update those. And what you really want to do then, go and talk to your attorney, have them review it, see if they have provisions for digital assets, and ask if they can put that in there to make sure your power of attorney does have that authority to manage those assets if
Got
they
it.
Need to.
Okay.
And you can't.
And what can be lost if not planning for digital assets?
You can lose huge
amounts. And we talked about, you know, we've talked about a couple things. But
yeah, we already talked about the iPad where the son lost all of his mother's pictures. But it can be much worse than that. There's a slightly unrelated story, but I think it's very relevant here. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is a digital currency. It exists only online. In order to access Bitcoin, you have to have a digital wallet. That digital wallet has a security password. And if you don't have that digital wallet, you can't get your Bitcoin. They're just gone. So a few years ago over in England, there's a student named James Howell. He managed to buy into Bitcoin when it was worth almost nothing. So he got 7,500 Bitcoins, almost no money. Now, in 2012, Bitcoin prices skyrocketed. He found out that his Bitcoins were worth over $4 million.
Oh my gosh.
Problem was, he had lost his hard drive. He no longer had access to those assets. $4 million lost because he couldn't access those Bitcoins. So this wasn't in the estate planning arena, but imagine if that mother's iPad had had the Bitcoin security key on it.
Yes, wow.
The son would have lost it completely. He would have been trying for hours, days, trying to figure out her password to get that $4 million worth of Bitcoin. The problem is if he couldn't get it, and he had told Apple that his mother passed away, they would have wiped the hard drive, it would have all been lost.
Oh my gosh.
So you can have giant financial hardship if people can't access those. Same thing can happen if someone has blogs, other accounts online where they're actually earning money from it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't access those accounts, you can really lose the value of all of those accounts. So it's pretty important to make sure people know how to access those accounts if you pass away or if you're incapacitated to continue the revenue stream coming from those accounts.
Makes total sense. So Anton, what steps can my listeners take to prepare their digital asset?
One of the biggest things you can do to prepare for your digital estate is just start keeping an inventory. Most of us already keep a list of passwords somewhere, but you want to have a very thorough, comprehensive list of those passwords, logons, all those accounts that you work with.
Okay.
List out the financial institutions, any social networking, anything that you're using online, keep a hard copy list somewhere that has password, logon information. So you really want to make sure that your representatives are able to access. What that means is they need to know where that list is, and you need to keep it updated. I typically recommend against giving that list to other people because one, it's not secure, and two, every time you update it, then you have to update their list. Keep the list yourself. Let them know where that is. Now, with some websites, you may want to give family members immediate access. If you have somebody who helps you out with finances already, give them access to your banking online so they can help you with that too. If you have someone who's helping you with something else, give them access to those accounts because it just makes it simpler if they're going to help you out to already know how to get on there.
So you'd mentioned about Bitcoin. Are there any special things to do?
Yeah, with Bitcoin, it's a little bit different than some other digital assets. It really is a currency that exists only online, so it's a very important currency. If you have any Bitcoins, and there's a number of other currencies out there too. So if you've invested these, you want to make sure people really have the right to access those. Otherwise, they can completely disappear. The big keys with these is make sure somebody else knows where your information is. You can do a hard paper copy of your Bitcoin account. That way somebody can actually get to your wallet through the paper copy. It's a great thing to do. Make that paper copy. Let people know where it is. So even if your hard drive crashes, it's gone. They can get access to that. Another thing you can do is if you're not quite so sure you trust people, you can do a multi-party transaction with Bitcoin, which means you give three or four other people a portion of an account information. When they all come together, they can actually get into the account. Make sure these are trusted people, of course, if you're giving it to untrustworthy people.
Okay,
they could come
sure.
together and get your Bitcoin. But if you really do trust them, give them that information and tell them if something happens, these are the people to contact. Then they can use those four pieces to put them together, get the single piece, and access those Bitcoins.
So you as one of my listeners, estate planner, are they giving you access to, as their representative, to all of their digital assets, so access to get in?
Typically, as the estate planning attorney, we're not looking to see access to get into these digital assets.
Okay.
Yeah. We would prefer just to let them keep that on their own. We'll help them create a plan to create a list where to do it.
Let
know, but we don't actually want to have that information about their digital assets. That's something that their personal representative should be looking after.
So I've heard online afterlife companies, should my listeners think about contacting one to help their digital estate?
Yeah, with afterlife companies, we do see people using those. We say exercise caution if you're going to do so. What we've seen is that some of these companies, they are internet, they're online companies, and we all know what happens with the internet. These companies go out of business. So if you're going to spend time and money investing in one of these to manage your accounts after you pass away, do a little bit of research. Make sure it's going to be a viable company. It's going to be around as long as you are, because you may live a number of more years. And if that company doesn't live as long as you, it's not going to be a valuable investment of your time and money to protect your estate. The better solution, make sure you keep that list of your accounts and make sure you let your personal representative know and update those powers of attorneys and wills to make sure they have the provisions necessary so that people can manage your digital assets after you're gone.
Makes total sense. What an interesting topic. And I'm just so excited that this was something we decided to talk about today. And I've learned a lot as the host of the Money Hour. Sometimes you think you know everything because I'm bringing in experts and talking about all of this, but I didn't. So I'm definitely got my checklist of things that I need to get taken care of. Anton, thank you again so much for visiting me in studio and sharing your wealth of information with my listeners. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday or enjoy the rest of your Sunday if you're listening to the rebroadcast of my show. And guaranteed I will be here next week, same time, same place, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.